Well, welcome back, everyone. Pastor Paul here in the Chapel of Hope Chapel. Hasn't the worship been exquisite? And I want to encourage you to go ahead and get your Bibles and please get a writing instrument and a tablet or some form of taking notes. God's going to be speaking to you, and he's already been speaking to me. And as you know, it's the holiday season. We are in our holiday series entitled Reality Lessons from the Christmas Story. Reality Lessons. We're going to be enjoying some right now. And one in particular. But before we begin, I want to just start with a little bit of humor. I heard about a teacher in her Sunday school class inviting the students to take out their crayons and to draw for themselves what they viewed the nativity scene, the manger setting with Jesus' birth. And so she came up to the workstation, saw little Frankie, and noticed something. She said, "Well, Frankie, I see Mary there next to baby Jesus. I see Joseph right there next to baby Jesus. But who is that round, chubby, Charlie fellow? Is that Santa Claus?" And so Frankie said, "Oh, no, ma'am. That's round John Virgin." Anyway, well, you just never know. That's why we want to relive and enjoy the nativity setting right here, the Christmas story, and take some great takeaways for ourselves. Today's lesson, our reality lesson, the message is entitled, God has chosen average people to do the miraculous. God has chosen. We're going to see that in the story today. But before we begin, Heavenly Father, thank you for the miracle of life in general. And Lord, thank you for this spiritual life you bring to all of us. You offer it through Jesus, our Messiah. And so, Lord, let our hearts be renewed. Let our spirits engage you. And Lord, now reveal your word to us in each of our settings, where we are at right now in our walk and journey with you, in Jesus' name. Well, you know, I love rooting for the underdog. I love and I'm fascinated about the underdog stories that are happening, especially when it comes to sporting events where an underdog, there's no possible way for them to win their game. Their chances are just nil. No way for a miraculous upset, but it happens. A couple of them that I just recall is when the Portland Trail Blazers won the NBA. It was a setting where there was a bunch of nobodies. Nobody expected them to win. They had lost the first two games, and statistically, 92% of those teams that have ever lost the first two games in the final championship have ever won at all, but they came back and won four straight. Another one that I'm fascinated with is where this guy named James Buster Douglas knocked out Iron Mike Tyson. It was an improbability. Nobody gave this guy, Buster Douglas, any credence, any credibility. They saw him as a little portly guy out of shape because Mike Tyson was knocking out his opponents the first or second round. And man, James Buster Douglas stood toe-to-toe and eventually in the later rounds knocked Mike to his back, not able to get up. What an upset. I'm always rooting for the underdog. I like to see that happen. Probably the greatest sports victory of a miracle happened in the Olympics, and that was in 1980, where it was the final in the really ice hockey match between Russia and the United States. Our team fielded a bunch of college students versus the Russian team that were predominantly just annihilating all teams. They were professional. And there, our team, the U.S., won 4-3 in the finals. It was a miracle. Matter of fact, they've made a movie out of that called The Miracle. Well, you can imagine when average people do the miraculous, the unusual, that's when the world stands up and takes notice. And that's our message today. That's what we're seeing here in the Christmas story. It's a reality lesson. We just have to observe because it plays out in your life and in mine. Because God has chosen average people to do the miraculous. Let's begin here because our first point, God calls average people to be part of his redemptive narrative. Now, I'm going to be going to John chapter 1, verse 45, but let's take a look here for a moment because letter A, just want to highlight, Mary and Joseph were average Jewish people. We spent some time with them last time, and also they lived in a less than average village called Nazareth. So we enjoyed last Sunday about those two individuals, how God moved upon them and how God miraculously invited them to be a part of that. But Mary was just the most unlikely young, probably teenager at that time. Nobody really would take notice of her, obscure, insignificant young lady, but God picked her, and from a village that really nobody really took notice of or cared about. So we want to look at this Christmas story just to remind you, we're not just wanting every holiday season, every Christmas season, to look at the Christmas story by reason of just observing the story or romanticizing the story. Man, this message is for you today. The takeaways are for us right now, even today. How about Joseph? Joseph was simply a carpenter in Nazareth. He was, at that time, probably known a little bit for his work, but because of the Roman occupation in Palestine there, there was a lot of carpenters, so he wasn't the only one with that trade. But we know Nazareth. Remember Nazareth? Remember when this guy named Nathanael came up? Is anything good come out of Nazareth? It didn't have a reputation by the Jewish people of any significance. That's important for our point here. And I'm wanting to look at John chapter 1 because Philip sees Jesus, meets Jesus, and good people always bring friends to Jesus. That's what's happening here. But Nathanael mentions the insignificant element of even the community called Nazareth. Let me read here. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And then Philip said, "Hey, come, see." It's interesting when we look here because when we observe God's redemptive story, his redemptive narrative, God always chooses really just those elements of common people, average people, to do the miraculous. That's our point today. You remember Noah? Noah had built a ship to save humanity, to save the animal society. It's amazing. God chose Abraham out of his country to go and develop a whole new nation called Israel. How about a little shepherd boy? Great. Talk about a miraculous upset. Little shepherd boy, his name David, later to become king of Israel, went after the champion of the Philistine army. This guy's name was Goliath, the giant. Now, so when we take a look, Old Testament is filled with average people that God says, "I have chosen you to do the miraculous." Even in the New Testament, man, even Jesus' disciples, remember these guys? Boy, just those average individuals. This was not an elite group. They were fishermen, tax collectors, and even some areas where they were people that were politically dissident, those zealots they were called. They just were disenfranchised, out of sorts in some areas of the populace. Jesus picked the average person. So why do I even bring that up? Because I do hear people that will often say, "Well, what do I have to offer?" Have you ever thought that? We oftentimes will never say, "Well, how can God use me?" We usually will say it with our feet of non-involvement. We usually will say something like that by a non-compliant, "It's not my turn." Or we come along and say, "Well, I have nothing to offer. I'm nothing more than a housewife. I'm nothing more than a truck driver. I really have nothing that I can offer right now. I'm just a student." And people will not participate when God's asking them, "Will you follow me? Will you obey what I'm asking?" So that's why we're even bringing this up. It's kind of like healing, where we just know God can do everything and anything he wants. And Mark chapter 10, verse 27, "With man, it's impossible, but not so with God," that verse says. "With God, all things are possible." So even when it comes to healing, when we pray for people, people say, "Oh yeah, man, I believe God can heal anybody." But it comes down to the individual, and they say, "Well, I just don't know if he wants to heal me." And that's where people wrestle with that. Who am I? What do I have to offer? I'm not qualified to receive anything from the Lord. Well, let's take a look. Well, let's answer that question, because the question is, Can God, how can God use me? And let's look at number two. Average people are more effective witness to the world. That's probably the great reason why God uses average people. That's our second point. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Would you follow along with me to verse 28? For you see your calling, brethren. So he's talking to Christians. That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Well, that's a lengthy thing, but you certainly can see the point. It's very clear. What has God chose? The average individual. Average people are more effective as a witness to the world when they start to see who are those individuals. Letter A, let's look at letter A here on our notes. The kingdom of God operates by different rules. That's why when God's wanting to make himself known and visible, but yet he wants to engage us and say, let's cooperate together to reach this lost world. Nobody is surprised when all of a sudden the great people do great things. Nobody says, they're just doing what they do. Nobody is in awe when powerful people start to display their strength. Nobody is impressed really and just standing speechless when the wise people start to speak words of wisdom. But I'm telling you, I've been in settings, I've seen it, when you see weak people, all of a sudden in the setting become strong. Oh man, and how exciting when all of a sudden you see this person that appears to be really of no particular wisdom becomes the wisest person in the room. Wow, that takes notes. And what is amazing is when all of a sudden the poorest person displays great kingdom wealth that just does things. I mean, that impacts the world where they step back and all of a sudden they're in awe. Literally, they are overwhelmed by that and confused. You really could say the world's whacked out by somebody that says they shouldn't be doing that. What an uptick that is at that time. It's an amazing thing. That's why so many times if you're a believer and you've ventured out to do and to accomplish, man, the unbeliever, the world that does not understand this principle that God's kingdom operates at different rules, they're going to downplay it, maybe even try to shame you out of that, saying, this shouldn't happen. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? But it's important for us once again. God operates on a completely different value system. So important. So the wise, the rich, the powerful people, there are very few that really within the kingdom. That's why. Why? Because those elements, when people are rich and powerful and wise, it actually can get into the way of what God is doing. Isn't that fascinating? That's why the Apostle Paul said so clearly. He says, hey, not many wise, not many powerful, not many wealthy. There's a few, but not many. That's important for us to recognize. That's why God chooses the average person. So the Christmas story is certainly that because of Mary and Joseph demonstrates how they are an average individual, average couple, and he picks them to show the miraculous. God's showing something to you right now. It's important for us. That's the significance even of this church, Hope Chapel. This church has been in existence, chartered for 89 years. It was in 1925. Two twin sisters came here from Los Angeles. Their names, Myrtle and Nellie Ryan. They were 19 years of age. They were in their sophomore between that and summer. And they started doing just what they call revival settings in Huntington Beach. And people are saying, Huntington Beach, this insignificant city that has nothing but oil derrick towers, and it smells of methane gas, and there's tar droppings everywhere. And what's not dry ground is swampy ground, and they came, and God started doing something. It's an amazing story. 1925, they rented out Howard Smith's storefront on Main Street. The work started to grow, and then all of a sudden, Pastor Sayer came along, and he rented a building on Fifth Street here in Huntington Beach. And it was under his watch that Huntington Beach Four Square Church, we know it as Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach Four Square Church, was chartered November the 19th, 1931. And when we remodeled the church, we found the charter with the founder of the Four Square Movement, Amy Simple McPherson's signature right there. But you can see next year we'll be celebrating our 90th year as a chartered Four Square church. Why do I bring that up? Well, what an average set of young girls came, and look what God is doing. Over the years, it's been marvelous. I've been a recipient of a visionary. I've been a recipient, and so have you, because somebody like these two little girls came here to share the love of God through the power of the cross and the resurrection. Wow, so amazing. 90 years now, close to that, in the making. So let's take a look at number three. The kingdom power is a result of obedience. That's important for our point right now. The kingdom power, since God's kingdom operates on a different set of rules, Mary and Joseph did what God asked them to do. It wasn't easy. I'm sure it wasn't easy. It never is when it somehow starts to look different to individuals. They had to go against maybe some cultural norms. They had to take a look and really work through the negative opinions of others. Why are you doing this? Do you know what you're about to engage in? And the risk of their own reputation. Many people need to be aware of that. So letter A, Mary's obedience. Can you see that there? It's in Luke chapter 1. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at her statement of obedience. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Was it easy? Sounds easy at that setting, but moving forward, it was not. The cultural norms, the opinions of others, her own reputation at stake. How about Joseph and his obedience? And it's listed there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Let's take a look at that for a moment. What was his decision to obey? Then Joseph, it says, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, Mary. So in the simplistic nature of their obedience, the miracle, the nativity, the narration of what God is about to do, the story unfolds to save humanity, to save humanity. That's what God would ask average people like me, average people like you. There's not really the results that we need to always take a look at in regards to skill or giftedness or hard work. Supernatural power of God is not really the results of human effort. We have to be careful about that. Many times we will get confused and think if we just work harder. I like where it says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, and he said to him, "It is not by might nor by power." Really, it is not. It is by his Spirit. It's important that God's Holy Spirit. I like in John chapter 6, verse 63, where the Spirit alone gives strength. That's important for us. It's the Spirit that gives life, Jesus says. You can look that up and write that down. That's important for you because it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh or human effort accomplishes nothing, Jesus said. So that's important for us in our point. Recognize that. We put a lot of trust in force and in strength and in human effort, don't we? It's like, wow, if we're going to get God to start moving, let's just work a little bit harder. Have to be careful because oftentimes we have the wrong conclusion that our hardworking power, in order for God to work, requires us to just work harder. Is that your thought? And then we come to the conclusion, well, Lord, why aren't you operating more? What is it? Listen, hard human effort is no substitute for the real power of God. And it happens by sheer obedience. Sheer obedience. What is it that the Lord would ask us to do? There's something that God continues to remind me all the time. It's why I pray every morning. It's like, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do today? I know what I need to do. I have my duty list. I know what I need to make happen. But Lord, what is it that you would like? Because so many times I was raised to work hard. People, I hope, will appreciate the hard work that I put in. That's just the way I operate. But I recognize that's no substitute for the power of God, the miraculous power of God. My working harder does not equal God's display for his power. Your working hard, too, is no equivalent to God's display of his power. We have to be careful. So obedient unleashes the power in this life. Is God asking you to do something? Has God asked you to do something? So maybe mundane. Would you consider this and even write it down? It's very important. Often our obedience will look normal. It looks almost mundane. Many times I find people don't even step into doing what they know is the right thing. They just think it's their own awareness. That's just standard. I don't think I'll do it today. But it's the mundane things that really bring in the power of God. Please don't overlook that. Beware. Often our obedience does not look that exciting. Wow. It's not that exciting when God asks us to do some of the things that seem so simple, so approachable. It's got where God will show up when you just simply obey him. Power of God is displayed, I would just say, in the mundane actions of simply loving people, in the mundane actions of forgiving people, showing compassion, serving, maybe the area of feeding the hungry, meeting community needs, just those things like, we should all do that. Well, that's where the power of God is. If he's asking you or asking me or asking Hope Chapel to do those things, kingdom power in a broken world is going to come when God says, I pick the average people to do the miraculous. I believe the Lord's speaking to you. I'm confident of it. That's our reality lesson from this Christmas story. Obedience unleashes the kingdom power to our broken world. So where is it that you might want to see God work in a miraculous way? Let's take a look at just some thoughts in relationships. Has God asked you to be obedient in that relationship, to show respect, to show forgiveness, show love? How about maybe in the area of your finances? What has God showed you about being generous? How about in your emotions? Has God shown you something that you would think, that's just so mundane. I need something a little more therapeutic and longevity. Just the simplest things can release the miraculous by just obeying what God has shown you. How about in areas of stress and anxiety? What is it that God has shown you? Would you do that? Just simply obey him? And how about just your thinking? Learn to obey the Lord in those areas that we would say, well, that's just standard approach, but that's where the miracle is. And number four, let's take a look at that. Every person has a role in God's redemptive narrative. Every person. So I just want to encourage, man, there's always, why do we even have a message or a Bible lesson or a story? There's always a takeaway, and here it is. Number four, every person has a role in God's redemptive narrative. I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's take a look at that together. Scripture says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Man, that's a fantastic verse. If you look at that, maybe even slide down in your Bible there, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 20. You can look at it later. It says, "Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to that power that's at work within you." Ephesians 2, verse 20. Check it out. I know it was a game changer for my young little upstart Christian walk when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was so happy when I finally was able to pray in another language. The Bible calls it tongue or unknown tongues. But I wanted you to know that if you are one, like I was, very conservative, very shy, I was not one that was very vocal. That's how I know the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so real. From a shy, behind-the-scenes student in junior high and even high school, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, it was a game changer. Would you consider that for yourself, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you give Hope Chapel, just throw that out there, a call saying, hey, can you pray with me even now on the phone? I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know God wants me to do some things. I'm timid, shy, reserved. I need that power that's at work within me. So when we look here, are you willing to accept your role? That's important. Mary and Joseph did. And look at the great story of redemption for humanity. I really like the line where, remember Mary said to the angel, I'm the Lord's servant, basically. May everything you just told me come true. When I read that, what do you think when you read something like that by somebody? In my Bible, every one of my Bibles that I have, I write Joshua 24:24 at the front with my name and my date of being born again, my date of being baptized in water. And I guess when I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit, I write those in my Bible. But Joshua 24:24, it basically is a phrase, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. That's what I write in my Bible. Man, I'm going to obey God. And when his voice, his word and his spirit, when he speaks. So what's the response you would give when the Lord speaks to you? Christmas story, again, it's not to be just observed. Let's not romanticize it. There's a reality lesson for us today. It's important. Let's be careful. Oh, there's still a myth that goes around there that somehow that salvation in Christ and the inheritance of eternal life, going to heaven, is just all there is, and that's all. It's all about you. Boy, God has a plan for you. He really does mean something to be significant. The average person, that's where the world will take notice, doing the miraculous. God wants you and me to be a partner with him, not a consumer of what he has. Partnership, not consumer. So it's important when we look here, discovering your role. Let me just wrap things up with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I like that reference. I like that translation. Let's look at three things this scripture promises us when we take a look at discovering our roles in God's narrative, his story. It's continuing to fill out. First of all, God will help you, this verse says, with this process. He makes you fit perfectly. He will help you find the perfect fit. I like that. I believe that. In Jesus' name, do that for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Another one, your unique role helps the other people serving grow. And you impact others. You impact the spiritual growth of other people. That's what that verse says, Ephesians 4:16. Lord, let that be the case. As a pastor, let it not just be the one person. May as they serve, impact the whole body and those you add to the church. Another, the verse goes on, your role contributes to helping the entire church be healthy, growing, and full of love. Wow. Lord, do that, I pray, according to your word. As we obey, stepping into that area, that some of the most simple processes, Lord, do that. So I want to encourage you this wonderful Sunday. Would you consider joining God's story? Many of you are already fulfilling a lot of different roles. We look forward to some of you hurrying back to our in-person church service at 10 a.m. on Sundays. We call it the Hub, Hope United Backlot. And a lot of ministry continues to happen, not only proper social distancing, but we do have our prayer wall where people will pray in a safe posture, even our interaction with one another, certainly joint forms of worship, outdoor setting. Our city of Huntington Beach is enriched by that. I love it how Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11 says that when the righteous does well, the city rejoices. And I believe that's why 90 years here in Huntington Beach going on, because Hope Chapel has been doing well all these years, Huntington Beach has seen great prosperity, great success because of the righteous people coming out and engaging in society. When the righteous people do well, the city rejoices. I want to thank you for playing a role in that. You're vital to the ministry here at Hope Chapel. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your constant continuing giving and your generosity, especially during the holiday times. The miracles are on display in our community through this great network called Hope Chapel. I want to thank you for joining me right now. And let me just pray you off that blessing. And may God richly encourage you this Christmas season. So, Father, thank you. Once again, as we just take a look at the significance, how you choose the average person to do the miraculous. Lord, it's my heart's desire that each one see a miracle, not just answered prayer, but Lord, we would be honored if you just choose us to participate in some of our own answers to prayer. So Lord, thank you for bringing healing to relationships. Thank you for bringing healing to homes, increase in prosperity and wealth in business, new jobs. Health and happiness abound this Christmas season and going into the new year. Lord, because we said yes to your assignment to say, come, follow me. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining me right now. And I look forward to seeing you soon. And we'll see you again next week. Bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.